Good to see everybody tonight.
Isn't the Lord good to us?
339 in your book. This is an old song. Oh, it says, I shall not be moved. Now, Pam hit on that this morning, but she wanted us to get moved for trick or trunk, or trunk or treat or something. But anyhow, it's one of them. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's where they pick up candy. All right, with 339, here we go. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Beautiful. You may be seated. That is good singing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who has a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody in the house? Yes, Pam. Yes, Mouse, get him recovered and get him better. Okay. Yeah, that's, when we talk about our grandkids, that's alarming. John, can you come up? We're going to take up the Sunday night offer night, too. And you have a prayer request, don't you, brother? Yeah, little Miss Becky. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. You know, church, we don't hardly ever see that. Helen pretty much mans that over there. I mean, she takes care of that. And we don't know who comes in and who she donates for and help families she helps a lot of times. But she takes care of a whole lot of families. So anytime you bring something over there to that pantry, it goes out to some family that needs it. It's important. We've got plenty that need it. Amen. They're all around. So we'll keep doing that. Yes, sister. Okay. Remember each and every one of those. Yes, Amy. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Brenda.
I know Phyllis. She's sweet. Yeah, remember her. She's having some health issues too. All right. John, bless our offering. You can remain seated. We're going to sing two verses of page 350. Two verses. Love this old song, The Sweet By and By. Then Tom's going to share a song with us, and Brother Gene is going to give us God's Word tonight. First and third verse of The Sweet By and By. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
You know, it's a good thing that one day we will be home. But until we get there, God has given us a special gift from Him to us. It's called prayer. While we're going through this life, looking for that life, He says that we can bring our burdens to Him. He says that we can pray without ceasing. He says that we can make all of our requests and our petitions known unto Him. And anything that we would ask in His name, He'd do it for us. I hope you enjoy the song.
Preacher got up, said, stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone. But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. I need to know before we pray. An unspoken request. Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share, a need in your life? Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request.
I won't try. I'm just going to warm my voice up with that in anyway. Because I don't have much voice tonight. Don't start over. I'll go to the next song. I don't have as much voice tonight, and I was trying to warm up because I really did want to sing this next one. So I'm going to do it, hopefully. Change those words for me. I need one right now. Let's stop. Is that, what track is that? 2. Got it. Okay. Turn her up, brother.
One of these cold, dark mornings won't be very long. You're gonna try to find me, but I'll already be gone. Gone like a jet plane flying, gone like your money spent. Whole lot of people gonna scratch their heads and wonder just where I went. Somebody tell my father, somebody tell my mother, somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell my sister, somebody tell my brother, somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. On the far side of Georgia, losing these earthly blues, making my way down Golden Street, just wearing my dancing shoes. I'll dance cause my trouble's over. I'll dance cause I've reached the top. I'll dance for 1,000,000 years or more cause it feels too good to stop with. Somebody tell my father. Somebody tell my mother. Somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell my sister. Somebody tell my brother. Somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Tell all the sinners, tell all the saints. Somebody tell them where I am and tell them where I ain't. Tell everybody till they understand. Ain't no better living than just living in the promised land. Will somebody tell my father? Somebody tell my mother. Somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell my sister. Somebody tell my brother. Somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell my father, somebody tell my mother, somebody tell my sister, somebody tell my brother, somebody tell my father, somebody tell my mother, somebody tell my sister, somebody tell my brother. Oh, somebody tell somebody,
Somebody tell somebody. Somebody tell somebody. I am living in the promise.
I noticed that song said mother, father, sister, brother, but it didn't say anything about the wife. I guess she don't care. It's like Andy Griffith said, you know why everybody's happy on Andy Griffith's show? None of them married. Otis is the only one, he's drunk every night. I remember reading, anybody know who Ken Davis is? Great comedian, Christian comedian. Won a lot of people to the Lord. And they interviewed his wife one time. And then they asked her about him. She said, well, she said, God gave him a warped mind and he uses it every day. Great comedian, Christian comedian. If you want to hear some good comedy and laugh, just pull up Ken Davis and listen to him. And he has a great testimony, by the way. And he's won a lot of people to the Lord. And so you see, God can use you like you are. You know, he takes your personality. Now, you can't come out of your who you are and try to be somebody else. That doesn't work anywhere. People nail you real quick. But if you'll come to him just like you are, and you don't really know what your talent is, he'll figure it out. Now, who knows what I'm preaching on tonight? Who knows what I said this morning? Somebody tell me what I said real quick. What? You'll be different in the morning, or
you get $100.
Right. Right. Well, I told Les I forgot my $100. Because I knew Tommy'd call for it. You know, but I don't think he will. This is a message that it's simple. I read these two words in Isaiah, and they just kind of rung a bell with me. You know, words do that with me. I pull a word and just run it through the scriptures and see what the Bible has to say about that particular word. These are two words. Every morning. Now, the key word is every. Every morning. About 4 months ago, I started walking every morning. And I've lost 14 pounds, by the way. And I'm shooting for 11 more. I want to lose 25 pounds. Because I decided when I die, I want to die in good shape. So I figure if I lose 25 pounds, I'll look pretty good. And then David Mathis to get a hold of me and make me look 20 years younger. We had women come in down at Appalachian Funeral Home and ask for David Mathis. And so I'd go get David and he'd come out there. And they'd say, if we would come in here of a morning, would you do our makeup? And he said, well, he said, I'm better on the dead than I am the living. And so them women walked out. They didn't want nothing to do with that. But he's a good makeup artist, and he's the best man around to make you look good if you're going to let people look at you. Nobody's going to look at me. They're going to seal me up, and, you know, if you're going to see me, you're going to see me now and not then. But these words every morning, I've missed walking. I haven't done it every morning. Because some mornings I had to get up at 7 o'clock, 7:30 and leave for work, so I didn't walk. You know, and then you make this New Year's resolution. You know, every morning I'm going to get up and read the scriptures. I don't do that. Not every morning. Now, through the day, they will be read. But not every morning. Because sometimes, you know, when you're laying flat on your back in a hospital and the doctor comes in there and says, rush him to Johnson City, Tennessee, we got to put a stent in because he's had a heart attack, it's hard to read the scriptures at that time. Yes. And what you do, you recall the ones you remember. Well, they've got you doped up now, and the only thing you can remember is John 3:16. And you're lucky that you remember that one. See, people that are waiting for their deathbed repentance, you might be left out. Because now they drug you immediately and you don't even know what's going on. You don't have time for your deathbed repentance. So I wouldn't wait till then if I didn't know the Lord. I believe I would do it while I was in my right mind. Before that day comes, you know. But every morning, what happens every morning? I'm going to show you seven things in the Bible that happens every morning. Now, you might want to write these down because they'll be beneficial in the morning. I promise you. Just write the book and the verse. Don't take the time to write it out because I've got them wrote down and I'm going to hurriedly get through, all right? And so, hopefully. But in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, now, some of these are taken out of the context. I can't keep them within the context because then I would have to describe each one of them and we'd be here till midnight. And so I can't describe the context that the verse is in. I'm simply going to give you the verse, what it says, and how it's beneficial to you, and what it means every morning. There's some things I want to know every morning. Don't you? I don't know that I'm going to be here in the morning. You don't either. But I'm going to tell you some things, whether you're here or not, that will happen every morning. Because the one that said them, mark my word, he's there every morning. He's the only one I know of that could say every morning. But in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, it says, he waketh morning by morning, he waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Now, the implication seems like there that God wakes up every morning, but I got news for you. The Bible says he never slumbers or he never sleeps. Isn't that awesome? I get sleepy. But did you know in my new body, I won't get sleepy, but I can rest. See, I can sit in my chair and rest without sleeping if my wife leaves me alone. You know, I take my hearing aids out. And she can sit and listen to TV, and I don't even hear it all. And so I sit there and relax and rest. This morning, about 4:30, I woke up and I was ready to preach. And I heard her stirring. I said, are you awake? I shouldn't have done that. She said, yes. And then she starts talking. I couldn't hear a thing she was saying. I don't know what she said. And so... But I didn't think she was awake. I just asked the question because she was stirring. And she said, yes. But it's hard to ask a woman a question and get a yes, no answer. Because they elaborate. That's the way it is, you know. And my wife is good at that. She's a detailed person. And buddy, I tell you what, you've heard of a mind like an elephant? She got one. She can remember detailed stuff that happened 50 years ago. She tells me stuff about her grandson when he was 2 years old, and it takes her 10 minutes to tell the story in detail. I can tell you something about my grandson that happened 25 years ago, and it takes me about 10 words because I don't remember the details. I remember we went fishing and he caught a fish. I couldn't tell you what it was, how big it was. She could tell you how much it weighed if her grandson did it, you know. But that's the way it is. But every morning, the Bible says, now notice the first thing. Every morning, God doth visit mankind. You understand that? God will visit you every morning. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? That's in Job 7, 17, 18. So, you know who's going to visit you in the morning? I love to have visitors. I just don't want them to stay all day, you know. There's some people that come by and visit, and I'm done in 30 minutes, and they're done in 2 hours. It's a good visit for 30 minutes, and then it's enduring affliction for the other hour and a half. You know what I mean, you know. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. I love to have somebody visit me, you know, but don't stay all day. You know, when I used to go to the hospital and visit people, and people enjoyed, they'd have people come to visit them, and they'd say, "Preacher, I thought he'd never leave." I've had people tell me, lay in the hospital, "Preacher so-and-so visited me, and I thought he'd stay all day." That wasn't a good visit. My visit was in for 10 to 12 minutes, have prayer, and out the door. Because when you're laying in a hospital, you don't want nobody in there with you. Unless it's an immediate family member that you're kind of leaning on. But somebody from the outside walking that room, they don't want to see you more than 10, 12 minutes. Because first of all, they probably give them a bunch of Lasix, and they need to use the bathroom, and they don't want to use it while you're in there. But visitors are good. But listen, in the morning, when you wake up, guess who's going to visit you? The Lord will. He says, in the morning, every morning, that he tries you every moment, and he will visit you every morning. So these people say, "Well, God don't love me. God don't care about me. God doesn't." Well, I got news for you. He visits you every morning. And I got news for you. He visits the lost as well as the saved. If he didn't, they wouldn't wake up. His goodness is to draw people to him. I mean, when it rains in the morning, it's going to rain on the meanest man in Elizabethan, Tennessee, and on the best man in Elizabethan, Tennessee. And the worst man in Elizabeth is going to get up and put his pants on just like the best man. And he's going to have clothes on his back, a roof over his head, and food on his table, and sometimes better than the saved man. You see, God's goodness to the lost man in judgment will stand the test. Because he can't say, "Well, you never visited me." And God says, "Well, I put clothes on your back. I put a roof on your head. I let it rain on your garden. I kept your car on the road." Now what he's going to say? Well, sure. Because you see, you'll be without excuse because of God's goodness. His goodness is throughout. That's why he works his goodness through you so that others can be saved. They see your good works and they want to get right with God. Because every morning the Lord visits. Now what amazes me is how he visits me every morning in Elizabeth, Tennessee, and visits my grandson in Germany and the one in Hiawatha every morning at the same time. Every morning. That's what it says. Every means consistency. He won't visit you every other day. He says every morning, the Lord visits man. Now the next one, notice what it said. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are all not consumed. Did you know in the Old Testament that if you picked up sticks on Sunday that you were stoned to death? If you walked more than a certain distance, you were stoned to death. I mean, that's the law, the Old Testament law. But because of God's mercy, you're not consumed. Now look at the rest of it. He says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Why? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There's a song, Great is thy faithfulness. I looked for it in the book. I was going to read some of it to you. But it says morning to morning. This is where it comes from. Great is thy faithfulness because every morning His compassions are new. See, you won't have the mercies today that you'll have in the morning because they're new every day. Because you see, your life changes. His does not. And so you will need new mercies tomorrow. You'll need compassion that you didn't need today tomorrow because every morning it changes. The circumstances and the situations change, but He says, I'm God, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. But my compassions and my mercies will change and they will visit you every morning because I'm going to be there every morning. And so every morning, God's compassions are new. And then the third one is found in Zephaniah 3:5. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning, there it is. Every morning doeth He bring His judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. Every morning God faileth not. He didn't fail me this morning. And on the promise of His word, He won't fail me in the morning. And on the promise of His word, He won't fail me Tuesday morning, or Wednesday morning, or Thursday morning, or Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday, and on and on and on. Because every morning, He faileth not. He fails not to visit you every morning. Now, one of these mornings, He'll visit you, and He could say, Gene, this is the last morning I'm going to visit you on earth. But He didn't tell me that. Because He don't want to worry me all day about dying. Isn't it wonderful that we don't walk around all the time thinking about dying? Now sometimes I probably think about dying more than most people because I work in it every day. For the last 4 weeks, it's been consistent. Every day this week I was in a funeral. Now this coming week, there's no call, but we should get a call. We could get a call tonight. Somebody's died. See? But God doesn't do that. He doesn't visit you in the morning. Now, His visit may be that you're going to leave in the morning, and so He visits you. And His angels will carry you out of here into the presence of God because the last chance Satan has at you is when you pass from this life to that one. That's why His angels usher you into the bosom of Abraham or into the presence of God. Because you've got to pass through the heaven where Satan lurks, the wickedness and high places. And so He may visit you in the morning and give you the ultimate visit. If you know Him, you know what the ultimate visit is? That's where you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And 8 times in the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so if you're present with the Lord, guess what? You're next to God with Jesus Christ.
You see, we got hung up on the material blessings. I mentioned those a while ago. Roof over your head and all that. Lost people enjoy those. But you know the blessings I enjoy? I was riding down the road the other day, and Tommy told that the other morning, about adoption. And I was looking at these nice homes going from here to Irwin that are up on top of the mountain. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'd like to have a home like that one of these days, but I'm too old to have one now. I'm not able to keep it up. But you know, maybe in a millennial, I might pick the one I want of somebody maybe that didn't make it. But they'll all be burned up. So I have to build my own. You say, you believe that stuff? I have not seen the earth now heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men the things God hath prepared for them that love him and are called according to his purpose. I don't know what it's like, but it's never entered my mind what he has for him. But the important thing is, every morning he faileth not. Now notice the fourth one. It's found in Exodus 16:21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. Now what did they gather every morning?
Manna.
What's the manna? This is the manna. So every morning it says, God's manna must be gathered. Now I told you a while ago, sometimes I don't get the opportunity to do it every morning. Now I'll turn my radio on. There's a guy that reads the scriptures every day. He reads three chapters a day. On one of the channels, I don't remember which one it is right off the top of my head, but you can turn it on, and Scorby used to, but now somebody else is taking his place because he's no longer able to do it, but he reads the King James Version every day, three chapters. And if you don't hear that, you can get your phone out, free app, verses all day. There's no excuse. You say, well, that's not like reading the Bible. Well, why isn't it? Somebody's reading it to you. It's hard to. If I see somebody riding down the road and reading their Bible, guess what? I'm going to get by them doing about 150 and I'm going to be gone before they ever run off the road. Because there's no sense going down the road trying to read your Bible. There's no sense going down the road with your head bowed praying. You're asking for trouble. But the manna is gathered every morning. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against God. You sin less. You sin less if you've got the manna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. So, every morning, they went out and gathered the manna. The Word of God. And guess what they did? It was there every morning for 40 years. Now the world, they don't look for manna. But every morning I get up, if I don't get a chance to get into the Word of God, sometime during the day, it's like a magnet. I've got to get into it. You know, I've got Bibles in all the bathrooms, Bibles in every room of the house. My phone brings it up. When I'm in the car, I can turn on 91.5 and they'll read it to me, or they preach every day from morning to night. And so you can get the manna. And that's one of the main things that let you know you're saved. You have a thirst and a hunger for the manna. A lost person doesn't have a hunger. It's like when you get hungry and your stomach starts growling. About 10 to 12 every Sunday morning, back on the road where I sit, I know Helen hears my stomach growling because my wife does. And I think, Dan, it's time to be quiet. It's time to go eat. You know, I'm up to here spiritually, but I'm down to here physically, and so I need one or the other. You know, I need a steak. A piece of chicken or something. That's the way I am with the Word of God. You know? I get hungry. But boy, I can start hearing somebody read it or start looking at myself. And one of them words will jump out. And then I start running references fast as I can to find out where that word's going to run me to. Because I know it's got to be good or I wouldn't have stopped. You know, some verses you read and they don't really do a lot for you. But boy, when you read that one and that one word jumps out, and it's like a big spotlight goes off in your head. Oh, I need to know more about this. And so you got to gather manna every day. And then notice the next one found in Psalm 73:14. For all the day long have I been plagued. Well, I get plagued too, don't you? Plague just means trouble, problems. Anything that causes you problems. And chastened every morning. Now that word chastens an interesting word. It's kind of like the word whipping or whooping. We call it whooping in Irwin. You know, the Bible says if you're not chastened, you might not be a child. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. See, I knew my dad and mom loved me because they disciplined me. They whipped me. My dad could, if he'd ever played baseball, he could have hit a home run every time up. Because he had such quick hands. He was like Hank Aaron. He didn't have to go back here. His wrists were so big and strong, and them hands were enormous. And he could take a switch. He can hit you five times before you bat your eyes. Now, some guys have to go all the way back here, and while you're back there, I'm over here at the door. My daddy, he could. You know, and I've often think that's the way the Lord does. He don't wind up. He whips you. You've been whipped by the Lord. I have. It doesn't feel good. But when it's over, it's a blessing. Because that lets you know that you're one of his. You see, I was talking a while ago about the word he mentioned the other day when we're adopted. You see, the physical blessings, the material blessings, everybody enjoys them. But boy, I tell you, a lost man don't enjoy adoption. He's not been adopted. I have. You know what adopted means? It says you're heirs with Christ, or heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now, I've got news for you. The adopted son gets what the son gives. You understand that? I mean, if you adopt a son and you have a natural son, when it comes time to divvy up, you better not leave the son two-thirds and the adopted son a third, because there's going to be a war. He wants half. Because he's adopted into the family of God. You see, lost people don't enjoy adoption. They don't enjoy the righteousness of God. They don't enjoy the forgiveness of sins. They don't enjoy the fellowship of the Lord Jesus. You see, those are the blessings that you want to dwell on, because those are the blessings that eternal. You'll enjoy them through eternity. Oh, you thank him for all the material blessings. The lost man won't thank him. But he said, in all things, give thanks. If it rains, thank God for it. If you got the money to buy a new shirt, thank God for it. You sit down and eat a meal, thank God for it. Go in a restaurant, see how many people you see, thank God for their meal. I noticed that. I'm real observant of that. We were in Amigos here a couple weeks ago, and this man and his woman and his wife and his two kids were sitting in the booth next to us. And so I watched when they brought their food out. I just wanted to see. And the children sat there like this. And the father bowed his head. And the mama bowed her head. Kids bowed their head. And he said the blessing. Now, he didn't say three or four words. It seemed like it was 20 seconds or more. And I thought, what a blessing. And then there was another family that they brought out, and there was a bunch of them, and they brought their food out. I never saw a head bowed. They may have blessed under their breath, but it wasn't a witness to me. You know, it's hard to say the blessing when you got a mouthful. Thank you, God, for food. Take the time to ask him to bless it and thank him for it, because everything that you have, he gives. The material and the spiritual blessing. So every morning, God chastens you. Well, I don't need to be chastened every day. Well, touch you. You see, God knows you better than you know you. God's with you every morning. I'm not with you every morning. All I see is on Sunday, and you're on your best behavior. You know, we come in and we watch what we say. We watch how we act. We make sure we smile at the right time. We make sure we sing at the right time, because we want to make an impression. And that's okay. It's okay to make an impression on lost people. I mean, if you're going to sit there like a bullfrog and somebody's lost and they say, well, if that's all it is, I don't want it. But if you have a smile on your face and you sing the songs of praise and put some excitement into it, they might be touched by what you do. Now, you won't impress God. God's not impressed with outward appearance. He's impressed with the heart, you see. And so if out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is speaking, God's impressed with it. But anyway, every morning, God chasteneth. And then notice what he says. And I got ahead of myself. 1 Chronicles 23 and 30. And to stand every morning. Now, some of you are going to think of this in the morning. I told you you'd be a better person tomorrow. See, I knew you would. Because you're going to think of this verse in the morning. Watch it. He says, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. I want you to listen to that. And to stand every morning and give thanks and praise the Lord. So when you get up in the morning and half asleep and stagger to the bathroom, you're going to think of this verse. God will make sure. Every morning you stand up and you give praise and you thank God. Why? Because he visited you. He opened your eyes. And so he deserves to be praised and thanked. Now, you may not go through the house shouting and all that. You may not do that. Your wife will have you committed. But, you know, you got to be careful. But it's all right to wave your hand and praise God. And, you know, that's what he says. And to thank him. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And then the last one is found in Amos chapter 4 and verse 4. Bring your sacrifices every morning. You say, well, now, preacher, sacrificing is done away with. Well, is it? Let's see what the Bible says. Romans 12 and 1 says, present your body a living sacrifice. When is that? Every morning God receives our sacrifices. I mean, right there in plain English. Bring your sacrifices every morning. Period. Bring your sacrifices every morning. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And then in the book of Romans, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Or you're not going beyond. That's just the reasonable service. That's what's expected out of you. Because he said, bring your sacrifices every morning. And then Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So you bring your sacrifices every day. Luke 4 and 4 says, man doeth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you take the manna in, you offer your sacrifices. When do you do it? Every morning. Now, every morning doesn't leave room for quitting and stopping. You do it every morning. I mean, when I get up every morning, 90% of the time I eat breakfast at 9 o'clock. My wife fixes it. One egg, one piece of bacon, and a dish of oatmeal. I've cut my breakfasts in half. My other meals too. That's helped in the 14-pound, plus the walk. But I do it every morning. Why? Because I've got to have the energy physically. There's things you have to do every morning. That's why God visits you every morning. So you'll be reminded to do your part every morning. And if you do it every morning, you see, now you take a little baby. You feed him every day. They'll bring babies to the funeral home and they'll start crying. I say, you got a bottle? Yeah, out in the car. I said, well, you better go get it because that baby's not going to calm down. It's hungry. Well, no, he's sleepy. No, he's hungry. I know the difference. I've raised some too. And so these little young girls will go out and get a bottle, finally, after they've wrestled 30 minutes. And I'll look back there in the corner and they'll have that baby with a bottle stuck in his mouth. And that baby calms down. Guess what he does? He goes to sleep because his belly's full. I need that. You see, what you need physically, your spirit needs spiritually. You have to be fed every day. But you see, that baby grows. And he grows. And if he don't grow, guess what you do? You run him to the doctor. Doctor, something wrong. He's not growing like he should. There's something wrong. He's just not as active as he was. Well, the doctor checks him out. Sure enough, he finds out that he's got some immunities and that he needs some vitamins and this, that, and the other. And it makes him, now I'm going to preach till it quits raining, so, because I'm not going to get wet. But so you see, as you need those things physically, that's why he visits you every morning. That's why you need the manna every morning. That's why you make the sacrifices every morning. See? You need it so that you can grow into the spiritual person you need to be. And then when you listen to the news, it won't faze you. Because they're out there to depress you. You understand that. You forget politics. You forget the midterm election. It's not going to help anything. It doesn't matter who goes in the House. It does not matter. One side goes in, it might slow down. The other side goes in, it will escalate. But it won't matter in the long run. This thing's on a downhill run. We're living in the last days. Jesus is coming back. He said it's going to wax worse and worse and worse. And he said when it gets to a certain point, you better start looking up. Your redemption draweth nigh. And I'm convinced that COVID happened because it's kind of thinning out who's in and who's out. I'm not judging people. I'm just telling you that God's thinning them out. The wheat and the tares are being separated. And it's a thundering outside and the rains are coming. It's already here. And I'm done preaching. Thank you for the privilege to be here tonight and this morning. I thank your pastor. I hope he gets home before it gets too bad storming. Because he can't see good, he can't hear good, and the last thing he needs to be is on the side of the road with his gun. Let's everyone stand. Thank you. Every morning. See? You'll think of that in the morning. Every morning. He shows up. Every morning you need the manna. Every morning make your sacrifice. Present yourself. You get up, you praise and you thank Him and you present yourself to Him. That's what Paul did. Paul said, I get up every morning, I die daily. I die to myself. I don't know what's going to happen that day. But I know that God has visited me this morning. And guess what else? He'll stay with you. All day long. All day long. He stays with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But that first morning visit, when you wake up, He's there. What if He misses a morning? He does it every morning. And as the old preacher said years ago, he ain't been sick lately. He'll be there. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.